Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kay, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tomolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show. Good afternoon. Today we are talking about boss ladies. I love that title. I love that title, Running Your Own Business. Here with Randy Kay and Nikki Tomolides, Diana Hall, and we have special guests today we're going to bring in just a moment. We'll be talking with Stephanie Blackwell of Aurora Products Incorporated. We'll also be talking with Kathy McShane a little bit later on, and Kathy's the market director for Ladies Who Launch. I love that topic. We, Diana and Nikki, this is near and dear to our hearts because each of us runs our own business. I do this every week. Okay, a little extra horn blast in the middle of If listeners are new to us, Nikki, tell us a little bit about your business and why you decided to go into business rather than where you have an MBA in marketing, mm-hmm. you have all this education. What was behind your decision to run your own business?
I have to say it was just something that I wanted to do because I loved the idea of, I was fascinated since I was a little girl, how people keep their homes clean and organized and put them together. So I just wanted to provide that extra service. And when I told my father, he thought there's something wrong with me. The man spends all this money putting me through college, and here I am, decided to walk around with a mop. But it was something that I felt strongly
about.
That
was your vision? I want to walk around with a mop?
A vision that I felt that I know something that I can share, and I want to learn more about this particular
area. Instead of going to work for a company like Merry Maids or something,
right.
Why did you choose to open your own business?
Well, it's funny because I did apply. My first move was to apply, and I didn't say anything about MBA, anything about bachelor's or anything. I just went high school diplomas that I have, and they didn't hire me. I don't know. Maybe they thought I am not. I
qualified.
Looked so. Over, I don't know, but I did look to work for a cleaning company, and I was keeping it all undercover. I didn't say anything to my family that's what I was thinking of doing. Mm-hmm. After my divorce, that was one of the things that attracted me, and I wanted to pursue that, and I knew that I was not going to get any glory, and just about anybody and everybody I know was against it. I had absolutely no support.
Okay, but you still, for some reason, this is a love of yours, and I know you've got a book coming out, and we're going to do a show in a couple of weeks just on what you're doing about keeping it clean and green.
Yeah.
And I think of you every time I don't take my shoes off when I go into my own house because I know you would be yelling at me. But so instead of working for someone else, you chose to open your own business. In a nutshell, what was the reasoning behind that? Why your own business instead of, the security of a paycheck every week?
Well, first, nobody would hire me.
That's a reason in itself.
That's a good reason.
Okay. All right.
And second, I think it's a challenge. You need to be a special person to have your own business. And I'm not saying that because we have a title of the show, Boss Ladies. We have wonderful guests that they did amazing things with her, especially Stephanie sitting next to me with her business. And I admire that. And I think it takes a different kind of a person to decide to do this. It's determination. It's like you persistency. You have to have a lot of qualities to run your own business and be out there.
And take that. Okay,
and take
so
that
and
that's huge risk.
Exactly what we're exploring today. So thank you, Diana. What about you? You had a job as a middle school teacher for 22 years,
absolutely,
right?
Right.
So how did you morph into saying, you know what, I'm ready to start my own business? Like, what was the process of that for
well,
you?
Well, I have to tell you, it's a very scary venture because, like you said, you go to work every day and you have a steady paycheck, and you know if you show up, at least if you show up and do a decent job. I think George Washington says, or somebody famous says, 80%. Of your success is just showing up. So with that said,
I thought that was Woody Allen. No, I
but you know, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
And that's what it is when you work for somebody else. But when you are your own boss, everything you do, you know, rely. You know,
you work for performance.
Right.
I mean, you have to to deliver the goods.
Okay. Right. So are you happy with your choice? And what's a day
Absolutely.
Like for you as a business owner?
Well, I am happy with my choice. As you just mentioned, I was a middle school teacher for 22 years, and talk about job security, tenured, and I started my business while I was teaching back in 2005 and ran that business for many years, and then decided to retire from teaching early to pursue my business full time. And probably everybody I talked to told me how crazy I was. What's a day in the life of a business owner?
Okay, and the name of your company, Interiors by Diana.
Interiors by Diana. Okay. I actually rebranded. I was Gracious Interiors, but when I started, went full-time, I rebranded. Interiors by Diana, it's an interior design firm. I'm a sole proprietor. And every day is really a series of phone calls and emailing, and my office is my car because I'm on one end of the state to the other. I deal with many different contractors and design showrooms, and down in North Carolina with furniture. So it's a lot of being organized, staying healthy, because if I don't go to work, I don't get paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So that, and I, as an actress, professionally, you're always at the mercy of, is the show opening? Is the show closing? Did they cast you? Did you come in second? You're always, there are paychecks, but there's many periods of unemployment as well.
Right.
So for me to run a voiceover business is a way to be an actor and have some control over my clients. But also I have to say, and then we're going to bring our guest in, that for me, part of running my own business is having every day be different, and also
Absolutely.
Feeling like, as business owners, we're supposed to be accountants and marketers and the product and everything else.
Well, it's almost a feeling of walking a tightrope, because you really have to stay on the course, and because really it could go either way.
Yeah. Always
can. But you, Randy, you also did that as a single mom with two kids.
Right. And we had a show about juggling but even now I have my business, Voiceover by Randy K, or Randy K VO. And I also am an author and a speaker, and that's a speaking business as well. But I can kind of have some control over my day. And if my kids need me, I can be there. And, that's about balancing. But everybody, if you want to be your own boss lady, you want to be a successful boss lady.
Absolutely.
So we're going to bring in our first guest. And this
speaking
is
of
a
successful
woman,
boss speaking, lady.
Okay. So we'll say your name last to build up the suspense. So our guest started in 1998 an all-natural organic dried fruit and nuts company with a tiny warehouse space. Maybe we'll let her tell us the story, but only 4 employees, which is like 4 more than we have. And this is Aurora Products Incorporated. And over the last 15 years, Aurora has been built into one of the leading natural and organic food brands in America. And our boss lady is Stephanie Blackwell. So welcome, Stephanie.
Yay!
Hey, welcome.
We're so happy to have you.
Thank you.
What an honor.
So we were talking before the show, and we realized that we both went to SUNY Albany, and you had a graduate degree in chemistry, and you're the mother of 4 children, and you're the boss lady of Aurora Products. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Okay. I started in chemistry years ago. That was basically what I was good at. So you tend to be a little lazy. You follow what you're good at, not necessarily what your passion is. Well, I went into chemistry, it came easy, got out, worked for Bell Labs, which is quite prestigious, worked there. And then I got married, and I decided that I would spend the next 10 years taking care of my children. So I remember thinking to myself, I really, really want to work, but this is, talking 30 years ago when women tend to stay home and stuff. So I did that, and when I left that, I took care of my kids for 10 years. And then when I was in my late 30s, I decided to go back to work.
So you took a 10-year break from the work world. And I will mention that your lovely mother, Bianca Vogel, is sitting in the corner.
Yep.
And she has 4 children as well, and a big part of your success. So welcome, Bianca. And you have 4 children, too. So 10 years, all 4 children are back in school, maybe? I don't know.
My oldest is 32. He works with me in my company. Right. I have a 30-year-old, I have a 29-year-old, and I have a 27-year-old.
Okay, so when you went back to work, they were much younger.
6 years apart.
6 years apart.
So I stayed home and took care of babies. That was my...
So you did that business for a while, the mothering business.
But you learn to multitask. It's interesting. When you're at home... You know, I did land developments with my husband. I did, you know, he was an entrepreneur. He started a real estate company. He started a glass etching company. He was a Harvard MBA. Wow. And his goal was to be an entrepreneur. And I thought, okay, I'm taking 10 years of my life. I'm helping him. We bought houses, sold houses, flipped them, did different things. So, mm-hmm. And I had children on each hip doing all this.
Right. Well, we are. Women are tend to be the multitaskers. We don't want to.
Yeah.
You know,
it's one of my skills is multitasking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Women do a lot better job, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so too.
Yeah, we were talking about this before. Someone told me a woman's brain is like a Swiss Army knife, and a man's brain is like an axe.
Yeah. They do.
Right.
It's one thing. Well,
men don't call us. Yeah.
But and so you know, as boss ladies, mm-hmm. we are often juggling family as well. But so tell us more. Because in a moment, we'll also be talking with Kathy McShane, who is the marketing director of Ladies Who Launch, and she works with women, female business owners, you know, all around Southwest Connecticut. She's the market director. It's a national organization, and I'm sure that your success story will be inspiring to everybody. So tell us how you built the business to what it is
it's
now.
It's interesting. I didn't grow up thinking I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I grew up knowing that I wanted to do something. I wanted to leave my mark, and that's what I had in my head. I wanted to do something. I wasn't a follower, but I wasn't a leader either. I was kind of a maverick on.
I love that.
Yeah, I was never a leader of a team. I really didn't care, yes. And I really wasn't a follower because a lot of times I didn't like what I was following, and I just did my own thing. I'd be the type to be wandering off and stuff, or daydreaming. You know, I would constantly get complaints about me daydreaming. I also have attention deficit, so it would help.
Interesting, yeah.
But I didn't have that goal, and so I think that when I by the time I started my business, I think I had all this pent up passion to do something. I wanted to do something that was for me. I was tired of being a wife. I was tired of being a mommy. Oh, no, I like being a mommy and a wife.
But I wanted to
do something for me. I didn't want to live my life through my children or my spouse.
Right.
I need to do something for
me. You know, I think, Stephanie, so many women can relate to that. You know, just that feeling of I need to be an individual. And, boy, you really became an individual.
Yeah.
I mean, you took it to a whole different level.
I wrote my diary. I have a diary, and I wrote, I need to make my mark. I need to make my mark. Now's the time for my children. I need to do something. I don't know what I want to do, but I need to make my mark.
Right. Wow. And you felt it within.
Oh, it was a burning desire.
Why dried fruits and nuts? Like, is that a passion? Mm-hmm. You said, you know, like, why that?
Well,
how did you?
It was you know, my son and I were talking last night, and I said, why do you think I succeeded? And he said, well, it's your perseverance, it's your passion, it's your this, and it's luck. And we had a discussion on luck, and I said, what was lucky for me is I was given an idea. That's it. But how many people actually go forward with the idea?
Are given ideas all the time.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. You see a need for something. If you have somebody that says, hey, I need to have, I need somebody to clean my house. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you say, okay, I can do it, or I can send a couple of people over to clean it. Mm-hmm. And that's all you do. Then you're given an opportunity, but you don't fulfill it.
Yes.
But if you say, I need somebody to clean my house, and you say, okay, I can get this person to clean your house, and gee, maybe there's other people that need to have their houses clean. So then you go ahead and you put flyers in other people's mailboxes.
Take it to another level.
Take it to the next level and say, this is fun. I love this. This is great. Think of how many houses I'm getting cleaned, and I feel good about myself. Oh, and then I'm making money on it too.
Yes,
that's the way I felt. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that I'm not a health food addict, or you know, I'm not a vegetarian. I'm not a foodie. I would never call myself a foodie, but I just saw such a need, and I just loved it. You know, so
wow. So we'll be back in a minute. So you're talking about not just perseverance, but also enthusiasm and
passion.
Finding so many of
passion.
Us thinking of starting passion. Passion. And finding the passion in what many of us go, mm-hmm. well, you know, I want to do interior. Like I have my daughter's in real estate and she loves what she does, which the hardest part sometimes is, quote, the marketing. But you found enthusiasm for the marketing. So we'll be right back. We're just going to have a word from our sponsor and we'll talk more about that on the Life Talk Show.
This segment comes to you by Interiors by Diana, a full-service interior design firm specializing in residential and commercial renovations and design. Receive a complimentary consultation at interiorsbydiana.com. The best advice for better living. And by Penguin's Best Housekeeping Service, serving commercial and residential properties in the greater Fairfield County since 1994, specializing in property management for upscale residential estates. Visit us at penguinsbesthousekeepingservice.com. The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Champions Mentoring Program, who serves children and youth in the greater Bridgeport area who are impacted by the incarceration of a family member, a rewarding opportunity to enrich and inspire the life of a child and yours. Be a champion. Tina Bannis at familyreentry.org.
Welcome back. So, Diana, you have a statistic you want to share with us?
Well, I'm the statistic person. I like to know.
Statistic, she said, not sadistic, just for the record. She's a statistic person.
Statistic. That's my auctioneer speed.
Okay.
Okay. So survey of business owners, the SBO, through the Census Bureau, approximately 1.75 million businesses will be selected to participate in the 2012 survey, which started in September. The first phase and the second phase will be in June. So I have the last statistics that they the last polls that they took, and statistics from that from 2007, and non-farm U.S. businesses owned by women entrepreneurs 7.8 million and by men 13.9 million in Connecticut, where we're
this is
airing.
In 2012.
This is 2007.
Seven. Okay.
They're currently doing the survey for the 2012 business owners.
Yes.
And those statistics will come out, I think, in July.
Well, they're always behind.
July 2015.
Yeah,
so, so the most recent ones
for
that we have.
A couple of years we're behind.
Right.
Very good. Excellent.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the most recent ones that we have were 2007. So in Connecticut, where we have a population of back in 2007 of 3.5 million people, 93,487 women entrepreneurs live in the state of Connecticut. So ranked by state, women entrepreneurs first is California, next is Texas, probably because of its size, and third, New York, obviously urban. So
we're talking numbers, not percentage in this case.
Yeah, numbers.
Okay. So women in business.
So we're
is there any
close.
Statistics about which one, how many succeed after a year, how many still exist? Maybe Kathy will have an answer for us in a minute. But.
I actually did not find statistics.
Yeah, but the numbers are rising. Of women in business.
Well,
opening their own businesses.
Right. I mean, and most businesses really do fail because women or people go into business and they do what they are best at, but they don't think about charging what they're worth. So they charge just to break even rather than make a profit. And when you do that, you know, those are the people that tend to really fail.
Yeah. So let's talk about
pricing.
I mean, obviously, we're sitting here with an incredibly successful businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
And you've talked a little bit, Stephanie, about passion and about the fun of building your business. So if you can speak a little bit more about your path to success. And then we'd like to ask you about giving back and how you give back. And then we'll bring Kathy in as well.
Okay. I think you need, from my business, if you ask me what was my one thing that I had a lot of pent-up passion. I didn't have any hobbies. I didn't have any side time. I had my children that I adored, but I didn't have any passion that I wanted to put all my time into. And there was something out there I wanted to do. And when I found this, I just went whole hog. But I think a lot of women, I do mentor several women that come to my company, whether they're selling a cupcake mix or they're selling a spice sauce or a salad dressing or whatever they are, and they have so much passion. Oh, I love this. This is my favorite recipe, and this and that. But they don't have they don't know anything about the finances. They don't even know where to start. And you need common sense too. You just can't run with it. You can't run the marathon without practicing.
Right,
you can't run the marathon to understand, well, if it's going to be a hot day, I better bring an ice bottle with me. You just don't do that. You have to come prepared. You have to really read.
And don't you, I'm sorry.
Practice.
Well, it's also, you know, as an actor, the biggest lesson we all learn when we go from doing the lead in the college play to mm-hmm. trying to actually make a living at it is show business is the business part. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So people may make great cookies and dream of selling them, but a business plan is mm-hmm. part of what we need. Marketing, understanding where we're going, a map, reading a balance sheet, you know, that type of... And that's when you mentor people? Is that what you teach them?
I don't teach them anything about balance sheets because I've never taken a business course in my life. So when I left chemistry, I mean, I didn't know the difference between a balance sheet and profit loss. So I didn't know what EBITDA was. I've always been good with
money. And what is EBITDA?
it's earnings before interest, taxes, and amortization.
Okay,
I'm proud of myself.
Thank you. So if you bake cookies, you need to know what an EBITDA is. All right,
yes.
Go ahead.
But now that that's important, it's not. But you need to have to understand. If you ask me what my receivables are, my payables are, that I can tell you.
Yes.
I basically know that if I'm going to pay the dollar worth of ingredients for my cookies, I can't sell it for a dollar. I got to sell it for maybe $2 because
yeah.
You got to be smart. You got to have some savvy and understand.
But also, I think you have to be aggressive in a sense that, as Stephanie said, you have to know your numbers and insist. What Diana previously said, that so many businesses go out of business because of the fact the pricing is not the right pricing for the product people, women maybe in, and that's one of the questions that we're going to have Kathy answer.
Okay.
Why women don't price their product or the services right.
All right. Well, so what, you know, finish up, Diana, maybe we'll bring Kathy in too.
Yeah.
Can you stick around to talk a little longer?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Well, I was just going to say, and Randy, you just mentioned about a business plan. And I think when people are starting out, they think the business plan has to be so detailed. Dot your I's and cross your T's. And it's really very simple. It's a one-page plan of what you're going to be selling, how much you're going to be selling it for. And the other thing that I think people make a mistake about when they're starting up their business is if they're going to bake cupcakes, they go out and they rent that fancy commercial kitchen space rather than thinking about...
And doing it in your basement.
Well, no, I was just going to say, rather than maybe bartering for key services, for example, you want to bake those cupcakes, go to your local church, go to your local community center, and either borrow their kitchen after hours or give them a nominal fee to bake cupcakes, and that's how you get out of the
Martha
gate.
Martha Stewart didn't start by renting a kitchen space. She started baking a cake and selling it in front of a store in Westport. That's how she started.
And how did you start, Stephanie? What was the first step you did, and then we'll bring Kathy
actually
in.
I rented a 1,000-square-foot facility. I got, you know what I did? You know
okay.
what I did?
Yeah, that's
I got,
great.
Well, now it's 140,000 square feet in 15 years, so it's grown quite large, quite big in 15 years. But when I first started, I had an anchor account. I had one big account. It was called Gourmet Garage in Manhattan that had several stores. And my first account was a $300,000 account.
Oh,
and
my
I
goodness.
Loved it. And when I had that $300,000, I said, wow, why can't I do this for other people? Why can't I supply them this product line and package for them and do this? That anchor account got me started. And I think that people that are going to go into cookies or they're going to go into this or they're going to have a cleaning service or they're going to do something need to have a couple of key accounts to know that it's going to work.
Stephanie, yes, can you talk about maybe a little, because that's the dream, to have some big account right off the bat. But let's mm-hmm. face it, you are a small minority of anybody who starts up a business and has that wonderful luck, which you spoke about. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us how you landed that anchor account at the very beginning?
I had actually gone into Manhattan. I was working for another company, which I was part owner of, which is no longer there, with my ex-husband. And it was floundering. I was in the sales part. He was in the business operations part. I went to Manhattan to show them we were selling alfalfa sprouts. And we went there, and I said, would you like to buy my alfalfa sprouts? And the man said, no, we don't give you enough business. We're not going to be able to. It's not worth it. Please leave. So I left. I was really depressed.
Sure.
I drove into the city. I drove back. I was angry because he was rude. The next thing I know, the owner of the Gourmet Garage called me up and said, can you package this for us? We are a retail store, and we don't really want to spend the time packaging all of our dried fruits and nuts and granolas on our own. That's not what we do. We really could use the workforce to do it. Are you interested? Now, I'd never done it before in my life.
So you're never going to say no, right?
I can do it for you. You know, and I didn't know Excel.
Right, right.
I had no, you know, so I just... I just thought, wow, this is great. And that's how I got my first account. Now, that's the luck part of being offered that opportunity.
But
the
could
hard
have
work.
Said no.
I could have said what?
You could have said what? No.
Exactly. You know what? You know what pulled you through, Stephanie, is the passion. Not,
it's the passion. It's the opportunity.
It's
just,
the opportunity
wow.
that
okay.
you took.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of. First of all, I think sometimes you plant seeds over there and they grow over there and we don't know why, and I'm pointing to different parts of the room. It's luck, it's persistence, it's doing what you love, mm-hmm. and it could be marketing as well. Mm-hmm. So our next guest who's going to join us is actually the market director of Ladies Who Launch. Now, I've been to her house because she had a great event and we all brought food, which helped, but it was an event to just share information and network with other people. And there were people who, everything from a hot dog stand to real estate to massage therapists. And Ladies Who Launch is the name of the company. It's a national organization. It's got branches in over 50 cities in the U.S. and Canada. In Connecticut alone, it has over 300 members. And Kathy herself brings 25 years of marketing and product brand development expertise to the Ladies Who Launch. She founded the Kendrew Group Limited, an award-winning marketing and brand development agency. So welcome, Kathy.
Welcome, Kathy.
Welcome, Kathy.
Hey, ladies.
Thank you.
So nice to be listening to what you're all saying. And given that I was in the position of listening, I'd love to jump in if that's okay, Randy.
Sure, go right ahead.
First of all, listening to all of you is fascinating to me because I work with over 350 women in Westchester and Fairfield County. And the consistencies that I see, or the consistency is the inconsistency. And that is that everybody ends up doing business the way that works for them. However, there are some things that women really should do. You know, we talk about how to price, and in my opinion, women have, and I'm going to tell you the five areas that women make the biggest mistakes. The first is they don't really know how to price. And we can go into these more if you'd like to. The second area is many of my clients really do not have a clear understanding of who their target market is. And so when I hear, well, you know, every time I bring up this pricing, everybody says it's too expensive. Well, there are a couple of elements that are happening there. One is that you're selling on price as opposed to value. And secondarily, or it doesn't really matter if it's secondarily, but in the equation is you probably are not going after the right client. Thirdly, and listening to all of you who are successful, it's fascinating to me that you're as successful as you are because you seem to do it all on your own. And that's one of the things I really stress with my ladies. It really is extremely difficult to launch a successful business if you're going to be the jack of all trades. And I can tell you, I have a very large constant contact list. And people open, my open rate is great, my click-through rate is great, my response rate is great. But I got to tell you, ladies, I am not sitting there doing that constant contact. I come up with the concepts, I come up with the copy strategy, and I hand it over to a VA because, frankly, it would take me hours to do what she can do in an hour and a half.
Okay, and for our listeners, let's just clear, a constant contact is an online marketing where you can send out newsletters and keep track of your clients, and a VA is a virtual assistant.
Oh, just, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keep going.
And I'm just going to go through the five, and then we can talk about other things. But what I find, again, with women is they are so afraid to ask for the order because in their heart of hearts, they feel if they're rejected, and Stephanie, I think you said this earlier, I was really down, my words, not yours, down, I was depressed, I was angry. And that's because you personalize that. And women personalize when somebody says no to them. And often, getting a no is one of the best things that can happen, because if you can remove the emotion, and you can ask yourself, okay, why was there a no? Was it my presentation? Was it the fact that this person really is not the ideal client for me? Is it simply timing? Or is it simply, you know what, I've got a product that really is not a great product. So to me, no's can often be just a wonderful thing. And I also find And again, this is not just true with women, it's true with men. And there are differences, by the way, between men and women in terms of how they manage or launch a business. Their marketing and sales techniques are not easy. You know, people think, you know, you throw an ad up on, you know, Facebook, you throw an ad up on Twitter, you take out a print ad, you know, blah, 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 blah. It is not as simple as that. So I find there's a great, you know, you have to be careful where your holes or your gaps are. Mine doesn't happen to be in marketing and sales, but I got to tell you, I got them in every other, you know, venue within the corporate world or within our entrepreneurial world. So those are the things that we really have to be sensitive to and be careful of. And, you know, the one thing, if you don't take anything away from it, is if somebody says no to you, kind of step back and say, is this really a blessing for whatever reason?
Yeah, for me, this is Nikki. I believe no is the beginning of yes. Mm-hmm. Nothing deters me. When somebody says no to me, I have absolutely no sweat. Well, my background is in sales, too, so.
So that helps.
I mean, having an MBA is okay, but having a sales background is...
And, you know, I think it's interesting, Nikki, you just said something really key, that your background is in sales and really in owning your own business. And we've talked about selling a tangible product as opposed to an intangible product. Regardless of what it is, you're selling. And not everybody is a salesperson. I, for one, am not a salesperson. I find that really challenging for me. So there are areas of my business that I consider myself, you know, an expert in, but there are many areas that I'm not in running a business. And that is the whole premise, is that you are an entrepreneur, you own a business, but there are so many aspects of owning a business that you may not necessarily be good at. A
lot of hats to wear.
Yes, and I think that's where it's so important to be able to hand those over.
Yes.
Like Kathy, you said, hand those things over to the experts. Don't drain your energy on those things that you're not good at, and you need to be able to admit that to yourself. Yeah.
That's really good. Kathy, did you go through all five? Because I don't want to lose our train of thought.
I did, but I'd like to, I don't know the person who just spoke.
That was Diana, sorry.
I'm sorry.
We have three hosts here, Nikki, Randy, and Diana, and Stephanie is our guest.
Okay, Diana, one of the things I would suggest you do, because there are very few really, really good salespeople. I mean, I think you really have to be good at it. You have to have a stomach of steel. But what I find is, what I do is so beneficial to my ladies that I never feel like I'm selling it, because I do know that, first of all, if they're not good candidates for me, and I interview everybody before I work with them, then I don't work with them. When I do work with them, I know that I'm going to give them 190% of what I do. And thirdly, I feel so strongly that what I'm doing is such a service for them. It's such a value to them that I don't think of it as selling.
So you think of it as helping.
It's helping, and that's what women love to do. We're nurturing. We want to help. Now, having said that, I'm not one who gives away my services. I do have a certain part of my practice that I allocate to pro bono. But when I interview people, and I only do that on the phone now, I used to be running around having coffee and doing this and doing that, I'm very clear about what I know it will take from them to make this work. And I don't feel badly saying to them, you know what, you're really not a candidate for me, or come back in a year, or go and talk to so-and-so. So I think sometimes when we shift our thinking more to, we're providing a fabulous service as opposed to selling, we're more comfortable.
I like the fact that you say come back in a year. It reminds me of the American Idol or something. They're like, come back in a year, practice, 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 and then come back in a year and sing for us.
Okay, so we're going to just be back in about 60 seconds, and we'll talk about exactly what it is you do, Kathy, for the people that you accept into your program and how important it is. And we'll also talk about the value of networking. This is the Life Talk Show.
If your son was diagnosed with schizophrenia, would you give up or fight? One out of every four families deals with a major mental illness. One out of four. Mental illnesses rank first among illnesses that cause disability in the U.S., Canada, and
Why
Western
is no
Europe.
One talking about it?
Randy Kay is talking about it. Then behind his voices, one family's journey from the chaos of schizophrenia to hope. There is hope.
Publishers Weekly calls it a must read.
Available on Amazon, hardcover, audiobook, and e-reader.
Looking for a realtor who really cares about where you live next and has a passion for helping you find your next home? This segment of the Life Talk Show is brought to you by Alexandra Herman, RE/MAX Realtor with a passion for putting you in your next Connecticut home. Just ask for Allie at RE/MAX Right Choice in the Milford office and on her Facebook page, Alexandra Herman Realtor. Buy or sell your home with Alexandra Herman.
Welcome back to the Life Talk Show. By the way, we want to tell you about our show for next week, which is about the psychology. We're talking about marketing today. This is for the consumer and talking about the psychology of ads. Do I really need that? Why do we buy what we buy and go back for more? We'll be talking to a professor of marketing and sharing a bit of our experiences because we all need to know. So we're talking today with Stephanie Blackwell, who is the owner. What's your official title? CEO?
Head boss.
Head bottle washer at Aurora Products Incorporated, a very, very successful business owner. And we're talking with Kathy McShane, another very successful business owner and mentor, the marketing director of Ladies Who Launch. So we're talking about, you know, the readiness to start business. And in this segment, at some point, ladies, I'd also like to talk about the concept of giving back. So, Kathy, you were talking about success and who you accept into the business and... Keith, do you have a specific question, or that was?
For networking.
Yeah, and you were saying about do men and women start and run businesses differently, and you know what is it that when you see somebody you say yes, I can help that person. What is it that you see, and what is it you do for them?
Well, we do a number of things. We run workshops. We run an incubator program, which is geared towards women who have an idea but haven't really flushed it out. We run mastermind groups. Are geared towards women who have a business or want to expand it, but are feeling isolated. They're kind of losing their edge. They don't have board of directors. And so we put groups together, again, handpicked, and they become their accountability partners and truly magical. I also do one-on-one advising. I do go into corporations where there's a large segment of women and, you know, they don't really have an entrepreneurial spirit. They don't really have energy, and we run workshops there. And the other thing that we do, and Randy, you were part of this, I feel very strongly that women need to get out. Often they're working out of their home office, they've got their sweats on. Stephanie, obviously that doesn't apply to you, but there are women who do that. In the beginning it often works, but after a while they need to get out, they need to meet other people who they can either use as strategic partners, you know, simply have a cup of coffee with, who sometimes have connections that you don't have. So we do a lot of networking. I always have an educational component because my feeling is, and a motivational component, because my feeling is if I'm asking women to come out, they're already stressed out, then I really have to make it worth their while.
Okay, so, you know, it's a lot about networking. And I notice you're also an adjunct professor of competitive intelligence at NYU. What is that?
It's a program that NYU offers, and frankly, it is a required class. And most of my students, when they come in, I say, how many of you are taking this as your last class? And just about, if I've got 28 students, probably 27 of them raise their hand. And I think it has to do with the title of the program. However, it's really about figuring out what your competition is doing before they do it. And the one thing I want the students to walk away with is you have to stop looking at competition as direct competition. So that means when I say Pepsi, somebody is going to say your competitor is Coke. There are so many other competitors out there, and those are the ones that you have to be really careful with because, with today's technology, somebody can be in a garage somewhere and coming up with these fabulous ideas like Netflix and Blockbuster. I mean, that was
Yeah, that's great. And Stephanie, does anything of what Kathy is saying ring true for you? Like, what's the value of networking in your business? How did you use it?
I don't really join too many women's networking groups because I find that most of the networking groups I go to, people are seeking me for insurance or for attorneys, accountants, and things like that. Service oriented. Mm-hmm. So I get a little frustrated in that regard. But I do join a Vistage group. I do a Vistage group, which is a group of CEOs and head leaders for different corporations around my area. And we meet once a month and we discuss issues, because sometimes it gets lonely on the top. You know, you have somebody
and
to...
And colleagues. And
yeah,
the people,
and colleagues. Or I have lunch with a few women that do own businesses in this area. And in that regard, it's great. But I don't really join... Personally, I don't join a lot of women's networks because...
Somebody wants something.
Somebody wants something, and I'm really getting... I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in again there. We were talking earlier about who your ideal... or who our ideal clients are. And everything we do, it has to be about who the ideal person or place to be. And what you've just described, Stephanie, is perfect for you. So you understand that concept. And, you know, people come to me all the time and say, oh, my heavens, what networking group should I join? And it really gets down to, what is your objective?
Yeah.
What do you want to get out of it, number one? And number two, if the objective is X, who, you know, what membership is going to deliver against that?
I just have a question for Stephanie on this, because were you always like this when you first started? Were you seeking a group, and if so, which group to be with and to get advice for?
I think sometimes
when you were
I think sometimes entrepreneurs tend to be individuals more so. As I said earlier, that they're not really leaders and they're not really followers. They're basically individuals. Even Stephen Jobs, I think, was more of an individual.
Yes.
He just wanted a great phone, and he wasn't following what was being done, and he was thinking outside the box.
Yes.
And I think with me, I'm the same way. I've never had a lot of friends. I've never had a lot of I haven't had any enemies. People like me, but I'm not really a social person. So to answer your question, I really haven't networked that much, but I do thoroughly enjoy talking to women on a one-on-one, mm-hmm. or men. I've had a lot of guidance. I feel women, including myself, tend to ask questions a lot more. We ask directions. You get lost in a car, who's going to ask directions? A woman. Mm-hmm. The man is going to be too proud. He's not going to pull over.
Right.
I know that's a sexist remark, but I think
well,
that
there's
it's
true, though.
It's true.
No, it is.
And it's the same thing
right.
with networking. When I go networking, I don't usually go out with I'll go out with a woman that I like. I really enjoy her who she is. I admire her, and I want to listen to what she has to say.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like she's trying to get insurance from me. Not that insurance isn't bad either.
No. I understand, but I was just curious, when you started the business and if you needed to get more accounts, did you join anything or you just directly went into sales and figuring out who your next customer
I
would be?
I pounded pavement.
Yes.
I did the sales in the beginning. I went into Manhattan. I borrowed $10,000 from my credit card or $20,000 from my credit card, hired a part-time salesperson and pounded pavement, and that's all I did. I really did not... You know, I didn't really have a lot. I had an ex-husband who was a Harvard MBA, and he gave me some information on marketing and sales.
Mm-hmm. Tips,
yeah. I had some other information from other people. But I really didn't. I didn't. I didn't do a lot of it. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, because I'm more or less the same way. I'm not a joiner of groups. I don't like them. It's not that I don't like them. I like people. I'm very personable. I like people and I enjoy them, but I feel like somebody always is pushing something. Mm-hmm. And
depends on the group, I think, Diana. And then I have Kathy, I'm going to ask you about, I want to hear your story in a minute and how you created what you created that got you in the position you're in. But Diana's been raising her hand.
Well, no, I want to know, you know, just in terms of networking, because that's what we're talking about at this point. And Kathy, you had said that Stephanie, she chose the proper networking for where she is at, which is ahead of a large company. And I think with being an entrepreneur, it's a very isolating type of business, mm-hmm. especially if you're a sole proprietor. And as you said, a lot of people who own businesses are sitting in their pajamas with their coffee at their desk work. So networking does get you out there. There are benefits. I do agree with Stephanie. Some of these networking groups, they're seeking business from you. But also, you know, there are many wonderful networking groups that can connect you with other aspects of your business. I belong to a wonderful networking group, and I hired a great business coach and somebody who does my bookkeeping and somebody who rebranded. And these are all very reputable people who want to stay in the business and in good standing with you, so they will do their best work for you. So there is also a lot of benefits to networking. I just wanted to add that.
And delegating is
which
something,
is a very good
you know,
thing.
Kathy started talking about, which is how her virtual assistant takes care of the Constant Contact newsletter. Because I, as a voiceover talent, we all run our own businesses and we do our own billing. And we have to, you know, I would love to hire somebody to fill in my clients' names into a database, you know, that type of thing. So,
Can I just say one last thing? I know it's 30 seconds. Networking isn't only joining organizations either, or groups.
Right.
I mean, at nighttime, I'll just talk my husband's ear off about what I'm doing, you know, or I'm talking to my sister who's also in business, or I'll talk to somebody that I know. So networking is just having friends that are in the same interests. It's not necessarily a group.
Absolutely.
Yes. Right. Right. Now, although this can be helpful. Kathy, can you speak to that? And I'd also like to hear, you know, a little bit about where you began so that we can see where you are.
Well, actually, that's perfect transition, but when we talk about networking, again, it's all about target marketing and how it works, and also a lot of it has to do with the tone of the person and the culture, the cultural orientation of the person who's running it. However, you got to hang out where the fish are. In other words, fish. And when I first started my company, my second company, I was in the corporate world. I was a senior marketing person for Citibank, American Express, MasterCard, and then I became pregnant, and I decided, you know, I don't really want to commute to New York anymore. I was a product development person. I produced this perfect product, my first son, and so a friend of mine actually called me, and again, and Stephanie, I don't know you, but listening to you, this is a very positive word for me, you tend to be opportunistic. I think you're less lucky than you are open here with cooking and going after it. So,
compliment. I think so
right.
too.
I
think
so too. I know. I did. I know. I went like that too myself.
Oh no. I think
yeah.
she
okay,
is.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think she is.
My blood ran cold. I'm like, nah. She's not lucky. You're opportunistic. You're open. You're willing to mm-hmm. look at things. You know what? You're not going to take them all, but you'll take the ones that you think will help. Well, I had this baby. I worked for 9 months in a company that was hemorrhaging, and I turned it around, and, you know, they were profitable for the first time in 5 years, and they treated me like a piece of crap. But I was on a plane, and at that time, I only flew first class. So talking about fish where the fish are, I'm sitting in first class. I met this guy who happened to know somebody that I knew, and when I quit my job and started my company, who did I call? Him. And he became my... And then I called... You know, Visa, where I had, you know, women who used to work for me. I called J.P. Morgan Chase, which I think was Manny Hanny. Then they've gone through so many transitions. MasterCard, I got all these people who had worked for me and loved working for me to hire me. So, you know, you got to fish where the fish are. And then when I started that company, which was about, oh my heavens, 22 years ago, it really became a world-class marketing agency, and what I did there was really to follow my heart. My company was growing. I was the only person in the company. I couldn't sustain that. I couldn't grow it. And frankly, it didn't give me the flexibility that I wanted. So I was sitting back nursing my second child one day, and I said, you know, what's the solution to this? And I said, oh my God, Kathy, you live in Fairfield County. I mean, I had a small agency, so I knew people who wanted to work on Madison Avenue weren't going to come and work for me. So I said, what would be the unique selling proposition? So I started 23 years ago job sharing. And everybody said to me, you know, you got clients like HBO and Showtime. They will never allow that. Well, guess what? Not only did they allow it, they loved it. And I got an award from Bill Gates for innovation in the workplace. So it's a lot about being opportunistic. You know, was I afraid? The brand at that time was Kathy McShane. That's all it was. I was terrified that people were going to walk away from me because I wasn't the account person anymore. But you know what? I had to do that in order really to make it work. And then about 5 years ago, I closed that agency and I went on a little journey. I thought I was going to be a life coach. And then I said, oh my God, for my whole life, I've been telling people what to do and life coaches can't do that. So finished at NYU. I went on to Penn. I got a certificate in positive psychology. I started to teach at NYU. And then a friend of mine said, you know what, you really have to take a Ladies Who Launch workshop. I said, my husband will throw me out of the house if I tell him I'm taking another class. And sure enough, I took, actually it was an incubator program because I really, although I thought I knew it, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And long story short, I fell in love with the protocol, with their methodology. I love mentoring women. It is, even in the corporate world, it was always, always, always a passion of mine. And I just said, this is the perfect combination. And
that's great.
So that's... Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. So we have just about 5 minutes left, and I would just love to a couple of things. I'd like to first of all have Stephanie and then you, Kathy, talk about the concept of giving back, because I know you both, you know, have turned your success around to give a lot back to the community. And then in the last 2 minutes of the show, so we have about 3 minutes to talk about that. If we could just do a round table with all of us and say, you know, just talk about if there was one quality you think is important for women who want to run their own business. We'll kind of end that up with the tips. But so, Stephanie, talk about your work with Habitat for Humanity and Kennedy Center and the concept of giving back, and then it'll be Kathy's turn.
I think I've given back in a lot of different ways. I think Habitat for Humanity, but I think more importantly, or just as importantly, I think that we hire 250 people at our facility. And a
employment.
Employment. And we give a lot of employment, and we give a lot of employment to, we hire people that don't necessarily have the education, but more have the drive and the dedication.
And you can train them to
that
be.
We can train them. I mean, that one of our top people, Elba, is a recipient for Habitat for Humanity, and she's the supervisor in charge of one of our locations.
Wow.
I don't think she has a high school education. She may, but I don't think she does. Sharp as a whip. You know, we have other people that work there that have just risen up through the ranks.
Amazing.
I think that's a big contribution. We have people from the Kennedy Center that we hire, 12 to 14 people from the Kennedy Center.
And, you know, if you're listening, because we have listeners all over the world because of iTunes and Podomatic, and, you know, so the Kennedy Center is not the one in Washington. It is a local agency, a nonprofit agency that finds, you know, helps people with disabilities, including employment.
Basically,
so that's what
mentally challenged individuals that work there, and they work very hard. They work piecemeal. They've been working for us for 10 years. We've helped the Sterling House, which is a local house here that's a community center. Habitat for Humanity, we've sponsored that for donated well over $250,000 over the past few years in that. Smile Train, veterans. I was awarded from the Hall of Fame to be in the Hall of Fame for junior achievement for helping people. And that probably just as importantly is helping women. I've had so many women call me up
that you say you're mentoring.
Yeah. They'll just come and they have a cookie business that they want to start or something like that, and just to talk to them. And that's so much fun.
It helps us to give back in that way. And Kathy, I notice you're a committed community leader and you serve on many boards. Can you talk a little bit about giving back as well for about a minute?
Yeah, I can. I mean, first of all, I'm in a prime position because I've got so many women that I can tap into. And we actually did a house for Habitat for Humanity.
Cool.
So does Stephanie. Yeah.
Yeah. We did that. I'm also on the board of Norwalk Hospital, where I started an exceptional women's program, which was a way to give back to women that I thought were exceptional in the community. And we raise funds, and that goes back to Norwalk Hospital. I'm also on the board of the March of Dimes. I had polio as a child, so I was their March of Dimes poster child.
Oh, my.
Asked me to do some work for them. So I'm a big believer. People come to me and say, will you run events and, you know, have a portion of the proceeds come to us. So there, again, I tend to be very opportunistic. My favorite charity, frankly, is Norwalk Hospital, simply because they've given so much to the community. I love giving back to them.
Lovely.
Great hospital. My son was born there.
So you're partial. You're partial.
So Stephanie and then Kathy, just tell us how people can find out more about your company, where your website
is. My website is www.auroranatural.com. And you can read about myself, my son, the business, how long we've been there, different product lines, and you can even order from our shopping cart.
There you go. And Kathy?
LadiesWhoLaunch.com/SouthwestCT. And what you'll find when you go to that website is less about me and more about my ladies, because I love to promote them and feature them. But it also has stuff about the services that we offer.
That's wonderful. So if they go to your website, they can find out more about the services that you offer, and then they can contact you and find out if they might be a candidate for what you do. Is that correct?
That's correct. And they'll also see some of the events that we have coming up and some that we've done.
Cool. Okay, so we actually have about 2 minutes left, even though our timer lady says one, we have 2 minutes. So let's just do a round the table. Just, you know, last, we do this at every show, Kathy and Stephanie, just sort of last minute tips, like take home, the take home thing that you'd like to remember. So let's start with Diana, and we'll just go around the circle.
Well, Stephanie and I had a quick discussion before the show today about knowing what you're not good at, and we both talked about the accounting and bookkeeping piece. And so my tip would be focus on your areas of expertise in your business and seek out the support of the weak links. And that's it.
Beautiful. There might be someone else's strong link and they can help you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was going to say never, never give up. And that's Winston Churchill. And do one thing every day that scares you. That's Eleanor Roosevelt. But also have passion. Do something that you're passionate about and that you love. That's, to me, the most important thing, to have passion.
Okay,
Stephanie. You took the words out of my mouth, because what I was going to say is passion. That's what drives me. That I love going to work. I don't. Saturdays are just a delight for me, because I can have some private time to myself and work. I love it, and it is passion. Yeah. You know, you keep things in perspective. You don't go off the deep end and jump off, but you use passion.
Excellent. And Kathy?
I would say be careful to assess who you are, what your products are, and who your target market is, because if any of those are really not in alignment, it's not going to work for you. And I'm just going to add, and please, ladies, do not personalize it, because once you do that, you really are heading in the wrong direction.
Excellent. Someone told me to carry a Q-tip around, and it stands for quit taking it personally, and that would be a very good thing. So that'll be my final tip, you know.
Carry a Q-tip around.
Q-tip, quit taking it personally. That's probably good in life as well.
I
want to thank our guests so much for being with us today. You know, running your own business is not for everybody, but if it's something that is for you, having the passion, having the persistence, delegating when you can, never giving up, reaching out to people like Kathy, and if you bake cookies, don't go to Stephanie right now. She's got enough of those. No, but, you know, reaching out for help and guidance and mentoring and networking when you need it, and to learn what you don't know and make it your business to learn it. Thank you so much, our guests
again.
Thank
you, Kathy.
Kathy McShane
and
Stephanie Blackwell. This is The Life Talk Show. You can like us on Facebook at The Life Talk Show and follow us on Twitter at Life Talk Show. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to The Life Talk Show on WDJZ-AM. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show. Sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki on WDJZ-AM every Saturday at 4. The Life Talk Show. Join us.